The final edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for audiences who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Tony Hendra, a.k.a. Satirius Hendra, and this is the final edition Radio Hour. We have a special episode for you tonight, our monthly Best in Show show, in which we present what we think are the funniest, smartest, coolest, nastiest, or just plain awesomest sketches from the last four editions of our thrice times weekly Radio Hour. We hope you agree, and visit us soon at thefinaledition.com for more sizzling satire with teeth, or check out our YouTube channel at the same address. So fasten your seatbelt in that soon-to-be-recalled Toyota or other imported lemon, and away we go with the Final Edition Radio Hour. Republicans everywhere are talking about their new hero. One famous Republican said, "People look at him as someone who wrestles bears and drills for oil, while the president wears mom jeans." Fox News said, "You've got a big, strong guy, muscular and shirtless on a horse, who wrestles tigers, while the president wears mom jeans." Who's this guy Republicans love who hates mom jeans? He sounds like the new Reagan. He sounds like their dream 2016 candidate. But that won't happen, because Vladimir Putin was born in St. Petersburg. But they can dream, can't they? Senator McCain, what do you like about Vlad Putin?
I'm a military man. I respect manliness, muscle, strength.
Well, is it strength to threaten and invade small, weak countries like Georgia and Ukraine?
Yes, so long as you win. Listen, there's a difference between small and weak. I'm small. I ain't weak. Putin is a shrimp, 5'5", but he straddles the world. He has cojones, and he's not afraid to show them. A real leader.
Would you buy him flowers?
Maybe some Axe shower gel. That's manly stuff.
Paul Ryan, what do you admire about Vladimir Putin?
He's a deeply Christian man who truly hates socialism. He's decisive, and it has to be said, he's white.
Why is that important?
Because Russians are not all white. Back in the Cold War, they were swarthy hairy, like tall Mexicans. Superpowers should have white leaders.
Would you buy him flowers?
No, I'd present him with a lovely picture of the Virgin, because she didn't use birth control. She respected marriage as between a man and a woman. And even though her husband was not the father of her child, she refused to get an abortion. Vladimir Putin would get that.
Sarah Palin, what do you like about Putin?
That he doesn't wear mom jeans.
If I told you Putin had warships anchored off Brighton Beach in New York, and his excuse is that Brooklyn is full of Russian-speaking citizens, what would you say?
I'd say better to be occupied by a strong leader than not defended by a weak, stringy drink of water.
Would you buy him flowers?
Yes, I would, because I'd like to see him eat them raw.
So there we have it. Republicans admire a man who rules with an iron fist, who strips down to his unquestionably white skin, and wrestles endangered species into submission. A man who creates a society where women know their place, where dissent is treason, where Christianity is the official religion, where gays are perverts who deserve every beating they get, and no one wears mom jeans. In other words, the United States they dream of. The United States saved by republicanism. Or if you like, the USSR. The following portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by Independence.
You're an active junior senior. You hike, you bike, you ski, you paraglide. But you have a seriously loose bowel, and you hate being dependent on others. Consider switching from your current rear-end insurance to Independence. Independence is the super absorbent super pad that allows you to be all you yourself can be. No more bossy nurses, fussy caregivers, or disgusted friends and family. Yes, with Independence, you yourself can change yourself.
Hi there, old timer. Looks like you're experiencing an involuntary colonic event. Want a little semi-professional TLC to help you minimize the unbearable shame of public incontinence?
No thanks, little lady. I'll TCB all by my ownsome, thanks a bunch. With just a flick of these two trusty tabs, I myself can change myself. I step out of my slightly soiled old pair of Independs.
Oh my God, what's he doing?
And into my clean, pristine, sweet-smelling new pair of Independs. Dispose of that, will you, honey?
Are you kidding?
Independs come in several fetching styles, like Tommy Bahama's Senior Megathong and Billabong's Bondi Beach Triple XL Surfer Briefs. For your fun, active, junior-senior lifestyle, enjoy the peace of mind that passeth all misunderstanding. With Independs, every day is Independs Day.
McDonald's has recently announced that they're giving Ronald McDonald an image makeover featuring cargo pants and a red rugby shirt. Ronald McDonald himself has also taken on a new persona in an effort to re-image the fast food company. The new Ronald recently held a press conference.
Ronald!
No, Ronald!
I have a question over here.
Ronald!
All right. Calm the hell down. Yeah, you, go ahead.
Mr. McDonald, what prompted this entire re-imaging?
Good friggin' question. You know, with McDonald's having the rep of making crap food for the kids, the thought process was we gotta look like a different company that doesn't give crap food to the kids.
But don't you still give crap food to the kids?
What the hell are you talking about? Our Happy Meal has a couple apple slices in it. That's good. A couple apple slices.
But isn't the rest of the Happy Meal filled with unhealthy food?
What? It's got milk or juice. I'm wearing cargo pants. We're different.
But aren't you still serving the same food, but with different packaging?
You think I would wear a rugby shirt if the food wasn't different?
I don't know.
We got all kinds of crap that's good for you, like chicken and special sauce. No one knows what's in it. How do you know it's bad for you? And Happy Meals come with a toy. That promotes running around and crap.
You didn't answer the question.
Look, I'm sick of you turds telling us we're unhealthy. I'm a new guy. I look different, and we got a different menu that is the same, but in a new McDonald's package, so it's better for you. Besides, how bad is a burger anyway?
Pretty bad.
According to who? Wendy? The friggin' Burger King? Like any of that is gonna make your heartbeat better?
Wendy's has healthy options.
Oh, right. Like that's why you go to a square hamburger place for the friggin' salad. McDonald's is just as healthy.
How?
I look different. I got a new way of being me, and I'm telling you we're a healthy option. Now I gotta go. I gotta grab a smoke by the fryer later.
Coming up, Jared from Subway is going to share with the public the health benefits of processed meats. House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan has presented the American people with a new budget. It does away with Obamacare, projects that Medicare's trust fund will go bankrupt, and promises, quote, real reform, unquote, of Medicare for, quote, future generations, unquote. Our Strong Powers and Pepper Lewis caught up with the congressman in the House gym.
Congressman, what is your rationale for doing away with Obamacare?
And what is your dramatic new proposal for reforming Medicare?
Strong and Pepper, as a devout Catholic, I believe that our health comes from God. And that health has to be earned.
How do you earn health?
Clean living and good works.
And that will keep ailing Americans alive?
For 200 years, Americans of all denominations survived
unreliable, sometimes miraculous cures based on fervent prayer. If they hadn't, there'd be no United States. As good conservatives, we need to get back to that simple trust. I intend to replace Obamacare and Medicare with a faith-based system of healing called Metaprayer.
You expect miracles to work in the 21st century?
How has the church survived 2,000 years? Why are the Southern Baptists bigger than ever?
Because they eat at Chick-fil-A?
We'll bring faith-based healing into the 21st century. Every Metaprayer will include the exact nature of a patient's medical condition so God's attention can be focused with laser-like precision on a cure.
Can you give us an example?
Right here on Skype, meet Dr. Phil Faustus, Professor Emeritus of Faith-Based Oncology at Bob Jones University. Dr. Faustus, heal thy patient.
O Lord, shower thy faithful patient Tabitha McGee, age 64 of Tallahassee, diagnosed with inoperable stage 4 esophageal cancer, in the supremo chemo of thy mercy. Shrink to nothing the 2.4 centimeter malignant tumor in the C3 vector of her squamous tissue with the blazing light of thy divine radiation. Amen.
I'm cured. Praise Jesus. That old demon's flying right out of my windpipe.
See, according to accredited, non-indicted GOP medical consultants, Metaprayer cure rates will kill those now claimed by wasteful Medicare providers, and at a fraction of the cost, except for Tabitha's copay.
Put the bills in the bucket, honey.
So Metaprayer comes up with miraculous cures. What about prevention?
Holy pictures, pilgrimages to Lourdes, above all, those lovely images of the Virgin that appear in cornflakes, rust stains, used diapers.
Jesus, you're replacing effective health care by exploiting the desperation of the poor and aged.
Hey, I prayed to an image of the Virgin just yesterday in the second quarter receivables liabilities curve of Koch Industries, and my reflex problem cleared up like that.
Wow, really? You know, I get terrible reflux.
That's no miracle. You're an extremely wealthy young man who can afford to stay in shape.
You know why I glow with health, Pepper? Because my heart is pure. Speaking of Jesus, Metaprayer draws its power from his awesome miracles.
Jesus didn't charge for curing the sick.
We don't know that. When Christ returns, I'm sure he'll charge competitive fees for miraculous services.
You gotta admit, Pepper, miraculous health care, especially with Jesus 2.0, will make great television.
Ugh, I give up. Men are morons.
My fellow Americans, we are a Christian nation. And faithful Christians don't really need that much medical care. This life is just preparation for the next. That's why God wants you to repeal Obamacare and get on the fast track to heaven now.
Welcome back to Fox News. President Obama has spoken out harshly against tuberculosis. So we at Fox figure, if Obama is against it, there must be something to it. Tonight, we bring on tuberculosis to tell his side of the story. Tuberculosis, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
So why does the president seem to have this vendetta against you?
I don't know. I'm just a small businessman. Some people are in the car business or the restaurant business. I'm in the business of infecting the pulmonary alveoli with my microbacteria, resulting in coughing, blood tinged sputum, and even death. Why does that make me the bad guy?
Isn't it the small businessman always the bad guy with the Democrats? You know, tuberculosis, some are calling you a folk hero for standing up to this president.
I'm just a simple pathogen that killed 1.5 million people in 2010. Mostly in the developing countries. But my family of bacteria came to America before the Mayflower. Why is this canyon bossing me around?
So you're not a fan of Obama?
I sure don't need Obamacare. In fact, I know a heck of a lot better without it.
You're a model for every American, sir.
Thank you, John. And now, apropos of nothing, let me tell you what I know about the Jews. I often wonder whether they weren't better off in concentration camps. I mean, right now in Israel, they're fighting for their own place. But in Auschwitz, they had their own place. Nobody else wanted it. Just think about it. All I'm asking you to do is think about it.
Let's talk about your new book.
Matter of fact, Jewish prisoners got a lot of thinking done. That's why they called it concentration camps.
You mean that ironically, of course.
Maybe Jews even had time to think about why they killed our Lord.
Sir?
And at Auschwitz, they had all the copper wiring because it was invented by the two Jews fighting over a penny. That's an historical fact.
We are having technical difficulties. Please stand by.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, and I apologize for that interruption. We have had tuberculosis removed from our studio. I did not realize that our guest was an extreme anti-Semite, and Fox News in no way condones those opinions. Coming up, scabies. Barack Obama is against it, so we're bringing it into our studio. We'll be right back.
The Final Edition is pleased to bring you the final, final episode of Friends, the one where New York disappears altogether.
Here's another song, yuppie scum! All you fake New Yorkers, there's one thing I don't need, another fucking bike lane at a store that's called Duane Reade.
Phoebe?
Monica Chandler, it's good to see you guys.
Why are you taking my watch, Phoebs?
Duh, it's because I'm a mugger, okay?
You'll have to excuse Monica. She didn't know you had become a common street thug.
It's not like I can mug indoors.
We were on our way to see the old neighborhood.
Yeah, you're in it.
This? This homage to faux suburbia by way of the Epcot Center and another reference I can't think of at the moment?
Good one, funny man. Phoebe, where's our old coffee house, Central Perk?
It has a new name now. Capitalist Bastard Greed Prick Palace of Crap!
Isn't that a little long?
Yeah, they shortened it to Duane Reade.
I was wondering when we'd see another Duane Reade. It's only been 5 feet since the last one. Do you mind if I run in and get some flavored lip balm?
You can't go in there. I hate that place. I'm opposed to everything it stands for.
All right. I won't go in.
If you do go in, could you get me some flavored lip balm?
Carriage rides! Who wants some nice carriage rides?
Joey?
Sorry, ma'am. The name isn't Joey.
What is your name, my not at all unconvincing non-friend from the 1800s?
It's totally different from Joey. It's, Sir Joey.
Good one, Joe. Hope no one cracks that code.
Why are you wearing a top hat?
It's a sign of gentility from 200 years ago to make bastard prick tourists feel better about abusing horses.
It makes me feel all British. I feel like we're back in London, baby!
Phoebe, why are you mugging me but giving Joey a free pass about subjugating horses?
I'm sorry. I know I'm against that, but he brings me tourists to mug, although it does make me feel all floopy.
Is there nobody that this city hasn't changed?
Here's my brother Ross, who still works with dinosaur bones at the Museum of Natural History.
Han. You mean the Museum of Climate Change Denial.
Who changed the name?
My new boss, David Koch.
Hey, guys, I gotta get back to work. Anybody want a ride?
Can you take me to another Dwayne Reed? This one's out of gummy dinosaurs.
Russ, where's Rachel?
She's in there talking to Gunther. He's the manager. She's autographing all the magazine covers she's on. She'll be a few hours.
De Blasio, De Blasio, what are they feeding you? De Blasio, De Blasio, it's not your fault.
It's time for the final edition Radio Hour's finance feature, Money or Die. Last week, the Supreme Court struck down limits on individual contributions to political campaigns, opening the floodgates to rich donors. Here to discuss this is our guest, Prime Minister Bakhshish of the Central Asian Republic of Bribiria, named by the International Monetary Fund as the most corrupt country in the world. Prime Minister Bakhshish, Bribiria has been rated number one on the planet for kicking back, paying off, greasing the skids.
Yes. But we are always studying America's fantastic system of bribery so we can make ours better.
But aren't you already number one in the world?
Only among the 187 nations that admit to pervasive bribery. America does not, but your system of bribery is so much more advanced than ours in its incredible sophistication and sophistry.
Are you suggesting that the United States is riddled with corruption and also lies about it?
Who needs lies? It's legal. I was just in Washington, D.C., where I met many people we in Bribiria call bagmen. Here, they're called lobbyists. It's breathtaking. In Bribiria, a bagman skulks around and eats in greasy spoons and leaves the bribe in a filthy railroad men's room. Here, a lobbyist walks into a senator's office, openly pays him a huge bribe to vote no on a bill that will save thousands of lives. And they call the bribe a campaign contribution. Mwah! I kiss this to a connoisseur of bribery. This is a beautiful thing.
Speaking of campaign contributions, I understand you've also been studying our Supreme Court.
Yes, this Chief of Justice, Mr. Roberts. Amazing! I worship this man. He has testicles the size of Jupiter.
Well, actually, Chief Justice Roberts is a rather quiet, retiring man.
It's the quiet ones you have to watch, no? Ha ha! This man is a quiet genius. He says when a billionaire gives money to a politician, he's exercising his right to free speech. Brilliant! Because Mr. Justice knows that the billionaire is really buying the politician's free speech, which isn't free. It cost him $1 million.
Well, surely the politician always has the option of voting according to his conscience.
Not if he wants to stay elected, because the billionaire also says, if you vote nay, the way I say, there's more where that came from. Huh? That flashing red sign of a bribe the world over. The gift that keeps on giving. Quid pro quo. As the English say, I give you $1 million, you give me a truckload of quo.
Well, Justice Roberts might call that corruption.
Oh, he is brillianter than that. Mr. Stern, right-thinking justice, says, if the billionaire gives the politician an envelope with $1,000 to vote for a law that makes him money, that's a bribe. Boom, jail. But if it's a bank wire of $1 million and the politician doesn't need to be told how to vote, boom, free speech. The bribe has magically transformed into a fundamental human right. Oh, Americans are so good at this. It's a boggling of the mind how you give the digit to useless, outdated, traditional ethics. We Bribirians have so much to learn.
Hey, America can still teach the world a thing or two.
And this Mr. Justice was approved by senators backed by billionaires who told them to approve him. He was approved through bribery. Now he approves more bribery. Ah! He's the law. It's not a crime. It's so unapologetic, it's thrilling. If a Briberian judge called a bribe a fundamental human right, the people would drag him naked by his testicles to the Black Sea and hang him from the cliff of flying hags for the seagulls to peck to death.
Unless he paid a bribe.
Even in Briberia, there'd be no bribe big enough to save him. Unfortunately, we are just not that depraved. Ah, oh, to be American. To have no shame, ever. America is sublime. Even when it commits what the rest of the world considers massive crimes, it can do no wrong.
Well, Prime Minister Bakshish, thank you. As an American, it makes me proud to hear a foreigner for once admiring something we do.
And do so well. Be proud, America. Where you lead, we will always follow.
You are listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour, A More Perfect Onion.
An ancient Coptic papyrus, now at Harvard, which has been authenticated as from the 7th century and has Jesus referring to my wife, has raised a firestorm among the 1.5 billion Earthlings who are celebrating Easter this week. Thanks to a source at the Harvard Divinity School, Professor Karen Sharon Person, who has recently resigned her post, the Final Edition Radio Hour has a fascinating videotape of Professor Person and her chief paleographer deciphering the text for the very first time.
So, after the word Jesus, we have wife with a possessive serif indicating my. What's next?
My wife is repeated. Then, hard to decipher. Looks like the word for big with child. But in the more demonic control text, it also means fat. This glyph indicates very or so.
In other words, my wife is very pregnant? Wow, that would mean Jesus had a child. This could be huge.
It could also mean so fat.
Wife, so fat? What could that mean in biblical terms? The fatted calf, fat of the land, the earth being symbolically Jesus' wife?
Let's see, the next word means relaxes or sits around. That's qualified by when and yeah. Then house. Then that same phrase repeats, but with a sign for emphasis, as in really relaxes or sits around.
Okay. My wife repeated, so big with child.
Try fat.
My wife repeated, so fat, when relaxes.
Try sits.
When sits the house. Sits the house, really? How on earth does this fit with gospel traditions, even the non-canonical gospels?
It could be Jesus says, my wife is so fat, when she sits around the house, she really sits around the house.
Are you serious? That sounds like I hardly know how to say the word. A joke.
Later in the text, there's several more mentions of my wife. Here's the word seize or take from my wife. Then I pray or beg. Take from me my wife, I pray or beg.
Take my wife, please?
Exactly. And up here. I seize, No. Take my wife everywhere. Everywhere. I take my wife everywhere, but she always finds her way back. Or, here, I love same woman, No. I have been in love with the same woman 40 years. If my wife finds out, she will kill me. That's funny. Pretty much my life story.
Are you saying this is evidence Jesus was some kind of schlock comedian? This is Harvard, the ancient text division of paleography department.
I've always argued that stand-up comedy owed a great deal to ancient rabbinical tradition.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Jesus was a married comedian? Eat your heart out, Dan Brown.
At least a book, movie, series deal.
I can see the title now. Just Jesus! Exclamation point.
Jesus!
Woo-hoo!
My brother's an agent at CAA.
Your son or daughter may be ready for preschool, but which preschool? If you want your kids to meet other people just like you, how can you be sure your children will be pigeonholed exactly the right way for the rest of their lives? Here are a few options.
Send your kid to Democratic Party Daycare. It's open to absolutely everyone, teaches absolutely everything, and meets whenever. Kids learn how to fight the power without fighting the powerful. Democratic Daycare. We'll teach your kids to question authority. Then, expel them if they ever try it.
Want to make sure your kid doesn't come home with an annoying new set of opinions? Then ship him to Republican Party preschool. We teach your child discipline.
Kids, we let you eat candy all day.
Moms, Republican preschool kids learn personal responsibility. Kids, once you're a Republican, nothing's ever your fault.
Does it look like your kid is going to be a selfish bully? Then Libertarian Daycare may be just the ticket for your little preschooler. We pretty much let the kids sort it out for themselves. Plus, there's pot.
At the European Union Daycare, we actually take children of all ages, grades K through 12, who come from 28 different countries and speak 24 different languages, and we just put them all in one room. Something will get worked out.
At Coke Industry Daycare, we will turn your children into a nutritious food source for other children. And isn't that what really matters? Feeding the children?
So pick your favorite. Remember, going to the right preschool is the first step down the long road away from anyone who's different.
Since you don't have $1 billion, you probably weren't invited to an exclusive forum in an undisclosed location on an unannounced date, possibly underwritten by the world's richest man, Mexican Carlos the Jackal Slim. R. Stone Peck was also possibly not there, and he might not have filed this report.
Angered at repeated calls from governments in developed countries to raise taxes on them, the Forbes 400 most pornographically wealthy people ever are pushing back. Hard. Charles and David Koch, who combined are the richest person in the United States, said the time had come for insanely well-off people to cool it with individual entrepreneurship, pool their awesome resources, and take control of the planet they own. Charles and David Koch.
Watch out, organized labor. Here comes organized management.
John P. Manning, the Boston Capital genius who squeezed $1.1 billion of blood from the low-income housing stone, file under How Does He Do It, had a practical suggestion.
Why don't we start a union of the super rich called the Fraternal Order of Billionaires Global Local One? Its mission would be to protect the inalienable human right to make more money than you'll ever, ever need.
The appallingly well-heeled attendees roared their approval, with one exception. Spanx thong mogul and ex-terrible comedienne Sarah Blakely.
Hi, y'all. I object to the word fraternal. Why not maternal? Or sisterhood?
Hey. Fix me a drinky poo, sugar bun.
Banana with Spanx.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Steel Baron Lakshmi Mittal, the world's 20th richest man.
I suggest each impossibly pampered plutocrat present here today pay annual dues of $100 million to keep out mere multimillionaires. The trillion-plus war chest thus created can be used to take out busybodies like UNESCO, UNICEF, the World Health Organization, the International Confederation of Labor, the whole hyena pack of NGOs, and Elizabeth Warren.
could also be used to finance traditional union strong-arm tactics, like arranging accidents for uncooperative politicians.
Walmart Air Christy Walton.
Collective bargaining by FOB Global Local 1 will mean huge increases in net worth for us hard-working financial titans.
Nations and regional trade groups that don't play ball can be brought to their knees in days by an FOB strike.
Casino King Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah, when we say strike, we don't just stay home from work. We mean, you ever want to see your currency alive again? You do whatever the fuck we say.
To express the spirit of the conference, billionaire Oprah Winfrey taught the 400 a new version of that old union hymn, The Internationale.
Arise, ye richest of the earth, the international smirking class will rule the human race. Arise, ye prisoners of taxation, arise, ye richest of the earth.
Yes, Jeff?
So, I just started listening to this show.
What do you mean, this show? The Final Edition Radio Hour?
Yes, the Final Edition Radio Hour.
You just started listening?
Yes.
But you produce it?
I've been busy. Look, it doesn't matter. The point is, I like it. I like this show a lot.
Well, I should hope so.
I mean, it's no car talk or anything, but, you know, it's good. I mean, it's great.
Well, we're glad you like it.
But I wish there was more I could do, you know, besides just listening.
What do you mean?
Well, I know how much work it must take to make great radio like this, and I worry that the Final Edition doesn't have enough fans, enough support, enough...
We're doing okay. We certainly could do better, but, you know.
Tony, come on. Don't be shy. What more can I do as a fan of this show, the Final Edition Radio Hour?
Well, I mean, you could go to thefinaledition.com and check out everything else that we offer.
Oh, cool, thefinaledition.com. Oh, this is great. Oh, we have an album?
Yes, we do.
The Vinyl Edition, cool. Oh, and it's on iTunes and CD Baby. That's awesome.
And it's cheap.
Good, I like that. Cheap greatness. Ooh, there's also a YouTube channel.
Yep, we've got great animation and live action clips and Money or Die.
So, I could just go to thefinaledition.com and buy the album, or share some of the great articles, or go to the YouTube channel and share those videos.
Of course. That would be great.
And I could tell people about this show, right?
Absolutely. We're on Progressive Voices every weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. East and 5 p.m. West, and on Podbean, and we're syndicated through Rooftop Comedy and PRX.
So, basically just help spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word.
About what again?
The Final Edition, Jeff. The Final Edition. You work here.
Oh, right. Thefinaledition.com.
Thefinaledition.com.
Honey, what time is my doctor's appointment?
I put a note on your computer, sweetie. Didn't you see it?
Oh, man. Look at all these pieces of paper. What a mess. There's gotta be a better way to leave important notes.
I knew you'd say that, sweetie. That's why I went out and got us Toast-It Notes.
Toast-It Notes?
That's right. Sticky notes made out of toast. Now we don't have to worry about unnecessary note buildup anymore. Just read it and eat it.
Do you like the convenience of adhesive stationery but don't like the inconvenience of dealing with the mess afterwards? Well, now there's Toast-It Notes.
the world's first edible Post-it note. Made from enriched whole wheat flour, recycled cardboard and rabbit glue, and just a hint of walnuts, Post-it notes stick just about anywhere. On important documents, computers, walls, and toast. Just write your message in digestible ink using our patented Toast-It stylus.
Digestible ink and patented stylus sold separately.
Drop it in the toaster.
Toaster not included. Do not immerse in water.
And before you know it, your note is ready.
Says here Dr. Morse called.
Ready for reading.
My lab results must be in.
And eating.
Made in a facility that also processes nuts.
Love the taste of Toast-It notes. My face is swelling. Can't breathe.
Honey, Dr. Morse just called. He says you're deathly allergic to nuts.
My God, I'm dying. How ironic. Honey, I've been living a lie. I'm gay.
New Toast-It notes. They're notes made out of toast.
Caution, do not toss at bears from moving cars.
The adventures of Rita Rogers, crime-solving succubus. By day, lovely Rita Rogers is Gal Friday for the mayor of Harbor City. By night, she's a succubus, a female demon that has sex with men against their will, reducing them to whimpering piles of jelly. But this little devil uses her powers to fight crime. Tonight's episode, Spy Jinx. We find Rita hard at work in the mayor's office.
Rita, where's the morning paper? What are they saying about that explosion down at the docks?
Right here, Mayor Hedges. The paper says it could be sabotage. Do you think the Germans might be in Harbor City?
Could be the Japs, too. This is the third explosion at the harbor this month. I think there's an Axis spy in town. Oh, look. The article was written by your boy, Meekum.
Jimmy? He's the best cub reporter they have down at the Daily Movement. And the cutest.
Speak of the devil.
What? Who spoke of the devil?
Howdy, Mr. Mayor.
I just meant there's Meekum right now. God, you sure are jumpy, Rita.
Oh, well, who wouldn't be, you know, with a spy in town? Hi there, Jimmy.
Hiya, Rita. We still on for the malt shop after work?
We sure are.
Knock it off, Meekum. Rita has work to do.
Well, Rita might be your gal Friday, Mr. Mayor. But she's my gal every day, right, sweetie?
I sure am, Jimmy, but I gotta get to work. Mayor Hedges, you have a meeting right now with leading citizen Jonathan Trout.
Trout, he's all hot under the collar to do something about the explosions down at the dock. Boy, he sure has become a leading citizen since he suddenly appeared in Harbor City last year. Hey, speak of the... here he is now.
Mr. Mayor, on behalf of the good burghers, citizens of Harbor City, you have to stop the sabotage. I must insist, without a trace of an accent.
I know. I just don't know what to do.
You must round up all the Chinese people in Harbor City.
Don't you mean Japanese? The Chinese are on our side.
We can't be too careful. What's the difference?
Golly, if you're going to round up the Chinese, first give me time to get my laundry back from Mr. Yi.
But we're fighting the Japanese. The Chinese, they aren't...
Stay out of this, Rita. Don't you have some filing to do?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Achoo!
Gesundheit. God bless you.
Danke schön.
Careful. We have to purge Germanic phrases from our language.
You betcha. I won't even say 9. Not even the number. I go straight from 8 to 10.
Shut up, Meekum. Mr. Trout, I'll round up the Chinese pronto. As soon as I have one last order of chop suey from the Golden Dragon, Rita, you know what to do.
I sure do. There's something fishy about Trout.
What's that, Rita?
Oh, nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Later that night, in the bedroom of Mr. Trout.
Good night, Trout.
Huh? What is this? What's going on? You're that meddling girl from down the mayor's office. How did you get into my bedroom?
Don't you mean, how did I get into your dreams, Fritz?
You're naked. I can see your titten. Gasp! Once your bat wings.
Take a good gander at my tail and hoofs, Heinz. Oh, and this too.
Ach, the Fotze, mein Gott.
Hang on, Schickelgruber. I'm about to crush some Nazi Nutsies. Succubus summons.
Vagina de inferna mordito.
He's kaput.
That's right, Gunther. And while I was slicing the bratwurst, you signed this confession and gave me this list of every Nazi spy on the whole coast. Toodles, Heinrich. You just got run over by the succubus.
Ach, du liebe.
Next morning at the mayor's office.
Hi there, Rita. I came by to ask the mayor when the Chinese roundup starts. I got my laundry.
Never mind that, Jimmy. Look at this. It fell out of Mr. Trout's coat yesterday. Do you think it's important?
Wow, I'll say. It looks like a confession. And a list of types of sausages.
I think those are names of German spies, Jimmy. You just busted a spy ring.
Well, Yankee Doodle. Say, Rita, let's celebrate tonight. My folks are out of town. Why don't you come over to the house and...
Now, Jimmy.
Oh, Rita, we've been going out for 2 years. I'm going crazy. I won't tell anyone. Are you worried it'll ruin your reputation?
Oh, Jimmy, that's not what it'll ruin.
For the final edition radio hour, Will Durst here with a few choice words about the new improved GOP chew toy. Talking about Benghazi. Apparently all the sweet cream goodness has been sucked out of Obamacare, what with the world not coming to an end at all, like everyone said, and dracula look, no death panels. So John Boehner decided to throw a large number of capturing the Senate majority election chips down the Benghazi rabbit hole. This issue, concerning the death of four Libyan embassy employees, excites the base to where they vibrate and leak green froth from their mouths while their voices go up 2 octaves. The major difficulty will be negotiating the fine line that separates energizing the troops from politicizing a tragedy. And the Benghazi tote bags don't help. Can't wait for the catchy jingle. Do the Benghazi boogie. Take 2 steps back. Shake your head. Look around. Take 2 more steps back. Even after 13 hearings on the subject, the Republicans are determined that this time they'll get the truth to such disturbing questions as why Susan Rice wore a pink blouse when she went on the Sunday talk shows. Was it a signal? Why wouldn't Barack Obama get off the phone with Benjamin Netanyahu? Were they celebrating? And who exactly do Republicans hate more, Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton? Yes, the answer to these and many more questions, including why their party has lost consecutive presidential elections. Because they're stone-crazed loons, that's why. Afterwards, a consultation with Geraldo Rivera might be in order, because this thing is going to discover less than when they opened Al Capone's vault. The only good news is the term impeachment is yet to be bandied about, and for that, we should all get down on our knees and give thanks for Joe Biden. For the Final Edition Radio Hour, I'm Will Durst.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The Final Edition Radio Hour is written, at one time or another, by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition Radio Hour is produced by Tony Hendra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast producer Barry Lank. The Final Edition Radio Hour is edited and audio produced by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014.